could answer that for the court. So verse 31, Matthew 26, 31. These seven of them, who's the them there? The disciples, that's right. The apostles, probably the apostles, the 12. And what does he say about them? What's going to happen?
All of them, all of these shall be offended because of me this night.
Offended, okay. What does that mean, offended?
Well, hurt.
Hurt, all right, that's good, hurt. And not saying in agreement with whatever goes on. What mean all implies what?
Everyone,
all 12.
Well, so, have they left yet?
No, they're still there.
I mean, Judas hadn't left yet.
Well, John, Gospel John, after the Lord's Supper, he went out with night, yes, Henry.
Okay, yes, because, oh, all right, okay, sorry, no, I'm sorry.
He hasn't betrayed him yet, so he's right down there. No, he goes down to Gethsemane, you see, later on in verse number 47, Judas, one of the 12, came. So he may not have been right there, but he came with the crowd. So he hadn't completely, maybe he had gone, but he came back anyway. Yes, Henry?
Well, yeah, according to Matthew, I think it's in Luke it says that,
yes,
you know, he left before they would have gone. That
before the guy
Jesus Christ would have gone.
That's
to, yes,
to, you know,
yeah,
they probably did. And Matthew kind of leads that Judas, which betrayed him, was talking and said, Master, is it I?
Yeah, so apparently there were only 11 men instead of 12 at that time. That's a good point. And so all means all, doesn't it? All he should be offended. Why were they going to be offended?
Because of the Lord Jesus,
Christ. Now, can we be offended by other things other than Christ?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, ma'am?
Even that word offended doesn't mean what to me, like when somebody hurts your feelings or something. Maybe it doesn't mean that.
Well, it would be part of it, though, wouldn't it? In other words, maybe it would be, in a sense, they would be offended in a sense of you'll be hurt, you'll be harmed because of me, because of your belief in me.
Touch because of the
gift. That's right, touch and harm and hurt. Can we be harmed and hurt from our own wickedness as well as because we stand for Christ?
Yes.
Yes, that's right. A lot of people don't like us because we're maybe we're mean and ugly and not working for the Lord, right? But in this case, because of me. Now, how can his disciples be hurt and talked against because of Christ? How does that work? Is it true today?
Because of thee, it says.
Because of me. That's, how can that happen?
Does it say me?
Because of me. Because of me. You shall be offended because of me. Right?
I'm not in
the
right verse.
It's verse. Verse 31. All must be because of me. See, verse 31. Yes,
okay. In the Divine King James Bible, it says offended means caused to stumble.
Caused to stumble. That's good. Caused to stumble. So you become
hearted. Oh, no, caused to stumble.
Okay, yeah, Tammy.
Zechariah 13:7. It seems like where it's prophesied.
Uh-huh.
It says, awake, O sword, against my shepherd, and against the man that is my fellow, saith the Lord of hosts. I smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered, and I will turn mine hand upon the little ones.
That's good. Should be offended, harmed, and hurt. What was the word that was used in the defined thing about?
Caused to stumble.
Caused to stumble, all right. In other words, when Christians witness for the Lord Jesus Christ, and the unbelievers don't like that witness, many times they attack them in various ways, either by words or some other way, and he says, oh, he should be offended, the disciples, these 11 at least that were still here, because of me, because if you're one of mine, and then when is this going to take place, this offense?
This night,
so right now, after the Lord's Supper, the Passover, and verse 27 and earlier, this night is when the offense is going to take place. And then he quotes the scripture, and that's what you quoted, Tammy?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Zechariah
13:7. Smite the shepherd. Who's the shepherd here?
Jesus.
Lord Jesus Christ, the good shepherd that gave his life for the sheep, and the sheep of the flock. So we've got, who are they? sheep of the flock.
The disciples right then.
The disciples, and those would be those who trusted Christ, those who were saved and so on, scattered. What does that imply?
That's just what they're going to desert him.
They're going to desert?
And
run away and scattered abroad.
They're going to forsake him.
Forsake him. That's right. And then in verse 32, but, why is that there? What is the force of the word but?
It's a contrast to
contrast. He'd be scattered. But then what's going to happen? After what?
After I'm risen again.
All right. So he talks about his resurrection.
He's going to go before you.
I will go before you where?
In the Galilee.
Galilee's north, isn't it? Way up north. Excuse me, I'll get this and we'll talk from there. Yes, hello. Mr. Carroll, Dick, how are you?
I think about the verse
where he talks about the sheep and the shepherd. Isn't that a quotation or at least a reference back to Zechariah?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. 7. Yes, that's a reference. Tammy just quoted that. That's right, Dick. That's right.
No, I can't understand that, but what you're all saying, because I don't know it's a great word. I'm sorry, it's man that is on the Lord of hosts. So smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered, and will turn mine hand against the little ones. And it shall come to pass that in all the land, saith the Lord, two parts therein shall be caught and die, but the rest shall be left therein. Now, doesn't that refer to a place in Revelation where one third of mankind will be only left, and two thirds will perish?
That will be in the future, yes. That's a possible reference there, Dick. You're right. All right, thank you very much for Zechariah. That's good. Take care. Bye-bye. All right, let's wave to Dick Carroll up here in New Jersey, right here close by to us. All right, so, yes, Tammy.
I mean, it's sort of like they're offended because of this horrible crucifixion that, you know, Christ is, you know, and the rejection that Christ is going to receive, and so they scatter. But then after he's risen, you know, he's going to go before them. He's going to lead them into this place where he wants them to be.
Mm-hmm. And Galilee is north, south, east, or west of Jerusalem?
North.
About how many miles, roughly? About 50 or 60 miles. It's quite a distance.
We studied Bible geography.
Yes.
That's quite a
distance. But they went up there before you into Galilee. That's where the Sea of Galilee was. Remember the Sea of Galilee right there? That's his place on north. So he's going to go before him after the resurrection. So he spoke of the resurrection here, didn't he? Did he speak of that before?
I don't remember.
He spoke of that before. He said he was going to be raised again. And about two or three times in Matthew, he said, the Son of Man is going to go to Jerusalem, he'll be crucified, he's going to be raised again the third day. And they did not believe him. They didn't understand. Remember Peter? He said, that shall not come to thee, Lord. Not come to thee. So go before you into Galilee. Then in verse 33, what did Peter have to say here? Who was Peter?
Peter was
a fisherman.
He's a fisherman originally, and the Lord called him to fish for men. And what did he say on this occasion?
Andrew's brother.
Andrew's brother, that's right. What did he say on this occasion?
Though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended.
What does that tell us? Was he offended?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What does that tell us about ourselves and some of the things that we might say?
We might misjudge ourselves.
In other words, we may think this, but should we not be careful what we say? As far as we've got to be very wise in what we say. We may not want to offend the Lord Jesus, but we might. The old flesh may get a hold on us. We've got to be very careful what we say with our mouth.
I still don't get what offended
means. Yes, hello, Dan.
Well, this is Anna.
Oh, I'm sorry. It was Dan's phone. Okay, Anna, go right ahead.
Well, it's actually the home phone.
Oh, the home phone. Okay, it says Dan on my phone. Okay, Anna, we miss you.
Yes, I hear you online here. Anyway, I wanted to make a comment about this verse 33, about
Someone has said this, it's not in scripture, but I think it's probably something to think about. You see somebody that's in a terrible situation, and you say, but by the grace of God, will I. But by the grace of God. All right, so if somebody makes a statement, and like Peter, wrong statements, we might make wrong statements, so that's good. That's a warning, Anna, that's true. It's a warning. We've got to be careful of what we say in our mouth. Because we may not be able to keep what we promise. We should. Our actions should speak from our words, and we should follow what our words say. But so Peter was a boaster. He was a spokesman, wasn't he? And we know he finally, after he betrayed the Lord, denied him three times, and started to go fishing after the resurrection, and just wanted to go back to his old life, he finally repented. He came back to the Lord, and he wrote 1 Peter, 2 Peter, and he was a good evangelist to the Gentiles, the Jews, wasn't he? So, but he was a spokesman. He said, oh, offend you, I will not. Was that pride in his life, do you think? What do you think?
It might have been. I don't know.
He says, oh, well, it may offend you. I mean, he's almost, is he not setting himself up higher than the rest of the 11 or whatever? Could be. But, oh, I will not.
Well, the Lord had just said that all the sheep would be scattered, and yet he's disagreeing with it.
He's disagreeing with the Lord,
he's saying, I'm not going to.
Yes. What does that word never mean? In verse 33.
No exception.
No exception, not ever. No matter where it is. Well, he ended up all right. He was, according to tradition, crucified head downward, not by his Lord, and he was faithful in his death and under death. Once he got straightened around and repented and changed his mind. All right, now did we read 33? We read 33. Then I shall never. Let's read verse 34, 35, and 36 again. Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, that this night before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. Peter said unto him, Though I should deny thee, die with thee, will I not deny thee? Likewise also said all the disciples. Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, Sit ye here, while I go and pray yonder. All right. So there in verse 36. Did we read 36 or 35? Let me see.
I don't know.
34, I guess. Did we go 34?
34, 35,
yeah,
36.
That's right. So what did the Lord Jesus respond to Peter's boast? That was a boast, really, wasn't it?
Yes.
How? What was his response, Lord Jesus' response to that? Did he let it go?
No, he said, This night before the clock crows, you're going to deny me.
How many times?
Three times.
And what's the word verily mean?
Verily.
Truly, very, very truly, it's going to come to pass. What's this clock crowing business? What happens?
Is this the rooster in the morning, or is this something else?
Well, how many different? Yes, Mom?
Well, the rooster crows early in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what he does at night.
Mm-hmm.
Before the rooster crows, the rooster crows every morning. It's just the way it is with roosters.
Yeah, maybe it's sunset. I don't know.
Early, probably it could still be dark.
Mm-hmm.
Cuckoo.
this is a time frame, and later on, did the rooster or the cock crow?
Yes.
Twice. I think only Mark, one of the Gospels mentions it.
Twice.
The rest of this is saying the cock crew, and he denied the Lord. But this was a prediction, wasn't it?
If you ever lived in a country or a country town, you would hear the roosters crowing.
Yes. At times they do crow. And thou shalt deny me thrice. How did the Lord Jesus know this?
He knows everything.
What is that attribute called?
Omniscience.
Questions at vftdc.org or 856-261-9018. Give us a call, a comment, a question, or just say hello. We'd like to hear from you. So he knew because he's omniscient. He knows everything. He knew, and not only knew, but he thought it was important to bring it out to all that were listening, all the others. And then in verse 35, what was Peter's response to the Lord Jesus Christ? First Peter, then the Lord. And what did Peter say again?
Though I should die with thee, will I not deny thee? He was arguing with the Lord.
The second time.
Did he believe the Lord Jesus knew all things?
Apparently not.
Apparently not.
He didn't like to argue, maybe.
Yes, he was an argument.
Peter was soon going to discover that Jesus does know everything.
That's right. And it all happened just as he said. The war of the enemy's fire, the trial.
As soon as he heard the cock crow, he probably realized.
In the book of Luke, it says, remember very clearly, what did the Lord Jesus do when the cock crew?
He turned.
Who did he look at?
Peter.
Did Peter's eyes look at the Lord? What did Peter do?
He wept.
Went out and wept how?
Bitterly.
So I hope Peter would learn from that. I think he learned a little bit, but not enough to prevent his denial. He had the denial, but not enough to stop him from going fishing again after the resurrection. But he's a slow learner, I guess. Like the rest of us. Many of us are very slow learners, so we have to learn sometimes the hard way. And as the last part of that verse said, what? When he shouted, I will not deny thee, though I should die with thee. And verse 35, what else? And that's it. What else was said?
Though I should die with thee, yeah, will I not deny thee.
And what else was said at that time?
He doesn't like to lose an argument, I think.
Well, that's true. But what else was said in addition to that, at that same verse? That Dan mentioned earlier. Always said. Okay, what did they say? What was the essence of what they said?
They're not going to deny the Lord.
Yeah, though they should die with thee. But as soon as he was tried, we read all the disciples what?
Scattered.
They fled. They all fled. And John, the apostle, was the only one that really stayed. Now Peter did go to the tomb and so on. But at the cross, just John. That was it. So they all said, it's easy to say what we want to do, or maybe we think we can do. Maybe it was just bragging a little bit. I don't know. And that phrase from Chaucer, was it? Or Crider, who wrote it? Maybe you tell me, Mayor on the wall. So these people, these disciples. Go ahead. Well, let me just finish this without ending. These disciples were seeing who was the fairest one of all. They thought they were the fair ones. Peter, the leader, and all the disciples said, I'm not going to, though I die with thee, Lord, I'm not going to deny you. I'm big, I'm bad, I'm good, see, I'm great. And Dan, what you got?
Pastor, sending warm greetings to you and all of our BFTBC church family there in Collingswood, and those watching by internet. We're so glad that Tammy, Dan, and Anna are back home safely from their trip. Thank you so very much for your continual prayer on my behalf. Keep each and every one in our prayers. God bless in His love, Carl and Vicki.
God bless. Way to Carl and Vicki. Way in the state of Maine. Thank you, Carl and Vicki.
Maybe Laurie can tell us how to have a doctor's appointment.
Yeah, Laurie said, I think she called it. Laurie Agee and Dan Agee, tell us how that doctor's appointment went with the eye doctor, and give us a call, 856-261-9018, or email bft@biblefortoday.org. Is that it? BFTBC? What is it, Dad?
Questions at bftbc.org.
Okay. All right. We'd love to hear from you and see what the doctor said about that. So all the disciples said. And then in verse 36, where did the Lord Jesus lead these 11 now?
Oh, Gethsemane.
What was there in Gethsemane?
The gardens.
Aaron was there, the tomb was close by.
Was it just in Gethsemane or there was somewhere?
Well, it was close by. It doesn't say it was nearby, I think it says in one of the Gospels. It
seems like they showed us that all at one time.
Garden tomb near Gethsemane. And so he went to that place. And what did the Lord Jesus tell him when he went to this Gethsemane? Said here, why did they want him to sit? What was he going to do?
He was going to go pray.
Was it just the three, or was it all of them? They were all of them, I guess.
Well, he took all of them, but these, I think all 11 were there, verse 36, but 37 is when he split off.
Yeah.
I think so 37, let's read 37, 38, and 39. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then said he unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here, and watch with me. And he went a little further, and fell on his face, and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Yet just not my will, but as thou wilt. All right, so in verse number 37, who did he take with him especially? Now, he went to the Gethsemane, but then he called aside how
Peter,
many people?
Peter, James, and John.
Peter, James, and John, the sons of Zebedee, those three. And what was his, yes, Lon?
None of those disciples, even those three, could understand at all what he was telling them. This was the most terrible burden, except the actual cross that Jesus had. And all they didn't get it.
What did they expect the Lord Jesus to do while he was here?
Become king.
Become the king and set up a kingdom. And had the Jews accepted that, that would have been the case. Did the Jews accept him as the king of kings? No, they didn't. So the Romans, through the Jews, rejected him and crucified him.
It's just terrible because sometimes in our own lives, we have something that really bothers us, weighs heavily upon us, and we try to share it with someone, and the person you're sharing with don't get it, because I guess they're not bothered with it. I don't know what it is. Mm-hmm. That's the same thing that happened here. And it's so sad, because here Jesus was going to go and give himself for these very people that couldn't remember or stay awake.
Mm-hmm. What was the Lord's reaction, and what was his emotional posture at this point? Verse 37.
Sorrowful.
Very heavy. What sense very heavy?
He's weighted down with the sorrow.
Weighted down with the sorrow and with grief. Did he know he was going to the cross?
Yes.
What attribute gave that information?
He knew that anyhow.
Omniscience.
He knew that it was going to be extremely painful.
Yes.
The torture that you'd have to go through when you count the punching and the whipping that he got, and then when they beat him with those whips, those Roman whips.
Yes.
And then to go get crucified. I mean, this involves a lot of hours, and he knew exactly what he was in for.
Right. And though he was perfect God as well as perfect man, still as man, he would feel the pain because he had all the feelings and the sensation. Yes, Tammy?
I wonder if he wouldn't be more troubled by the fact that he knew that God was going to part, for that season when he was on the cross.
Mm-hmm. Forsake him in a sense as far as the Son of Man. Never as needed, but Son of Man. Yes, perfect God, perfect man. Yes, fine.
Other men have been crucified, but no other person ever took the sin of the world.
Yeah.
This was a man the God-man, Jesus Christ, mm-hmm. who never did anything bad.
No sin in him at all.
So he never disobeyed. He never did, never told even a little lie. He never did anything bad.
Mm-hmm.
And suddenly all the badness of the world would be put on him. That was the, I think that was the cup. And his father would not look at him anymore because of that sin.
Mm-hmm.
That whole thing.
What does 2 Corinthians 5:21 say? But for God the Father, he sent him, that is, for God the Son, to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. That's a substitution. And a sinless person, as the Lord Jesus was, taking upon him all that wicked, filthy garbage of sin, was a very great thing. That's right. That was terrible.
The whole world. It'd be bad enough to take someone else's sin.
Yes.
Like some men do die for other men.
Mm-hmm.
So the other person, the guilty one, can go free.
Mm-hmm.
But just imagine dying for everybody.
Sin was great. And so that was
taking
so great.
All of that guilt.
Sorrowful, very heavy. And then we read 38. What did he tell the disciples, these three, now Peter, James, and John?
My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death.
All right. His soul was exceeding sorrowful. Not necessarily his body, but his soul. What's the distinction between the soul and the body being sorrowful?
Let's see.
Can the body be healthy and non-sorrowful, and the soul can be sorrowful?
Yes.
What sense?
We have that lots of times.
In our person, the spirit and soul of us.
If our soul is troubled about something.
Yes.
We could be healthy, but we're sick in
our
soul.
Sick in our hearts and our minds, our inner being. That's right. Exceeding sorrowful here, even unto death. What does that mean?
Maybe it's making him sick.
Maybe it's making him sick to even die. So
I mean, didn't they say something about when he sweat drops of blood that there was something that was physically going on?
Right.
Perhaps that it was some kind of reaction to the strain on him.
Yes, in the garden, that's said there, I think in the book of Luke, only in the book of Luke. It's not in Matthew or Mark, but Luke, very
he
clear.
Sweat
is the word, great
he's
drops
tired.
Of blood, that's right. And in this prayer, in this Gethsemane, so what did he tell the disciples? Since he was sorrowful, exceeding sorrowful, you know, what do you tell
him? Tarry here and watch with me.
What does tarry mean?
Stay.
Stay and
wait.
Remember, one of the things he said, if I tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Remember after the resurrection, he told that to Peter? There are the disciples that were going fishing. Tarry, meaning what?
Wait.
If the Lord tarries, people say, oh, what does that mean? If the Lord tarries, is coming.
Delays
is coming.
Delays.
Then we will do this, Matt. But we should be ready for an hour that you think not the Son of Man coming. We don't know when it's coming, yet we've got to be ready.
I wonder.
Yeah,
I wonder what the new versions say instead of tarry. Because people say, preachers say this all the time.
Yes. Probably said wait, be here. And what, when they're waiting here, tarrying here, what are they supposed to be doing?
Watching.
Watching with me. What is,
there
about,
watching?
What is there about watching? Yes. Where about, what is there about watching?
You have to be awake to watch.
Awake, that's right. In other words, watching him pray, watching the agony of his soul, watching him talk to the Father.
That were coming. Yeah. Like the friends of Job, they just sat with him at the beginning.
Uh-huh.
And they more of a comfort to him than any other time when they were just sitting there with
mm-hmm.
him.
What did Job think of their comfort?
Well, when they start talking, nothing. It was awful.
What was the word used?
Miserable.
Miserable. I praise that y'all. So he sit there now. That was what he said. Sit there. How was it? Verse 36. Let me see.
38.
38. I'm in the wrong verse. So watch with me. Then in verse 39, what did he do then?
He went a little further.
So apparently he prayed maybe here and then went further. Maybe when he said this, he went a little further in the Garden of Gethsemane.
Oh, I just remember.
Hey, what?
When we went to Jerusalem, right in there in the temple, isn't there this mount, this stone, and that, I forget, help me. You know, in the mosque, isn't that stone there that they say that's what Jesus prayed on in Gethsemane?
I think there's something there.
That's the mosque in Mosque of Omar.
Yes.
That stone is the stone that the people who control the mosque say that Ishmael was sacrificed on.
Okay, well, maybe I have that mixed up.
But let me ask you this.
Do you remember, Emery?
Are the stones and the places that they tell us are where things happen necessarily where things happen?
No.
Not at all.
But there's a...
There's several different upper rooms and there's several different Calvaries and several different Gethsemanes and places of the gardens. So there was something there.
There was stones. I don't know how to explain it.
Was that where Isaac was sacrificed?
Maybe they think it's all
because
they're Muslims. They say it was Ishmael.
Yeah. Exactly. So that's all tradition. Of course, we don't know.
Ishmael
wasn't sacrificed there on any stone.
No.
Yeah, that's right. It was Isaac who sacrificed. The New King James used the word stay instead of tarry.
Stay, okay.
I'll keep you updated for other ones. I can't get them all at one time.
Okay. This thing. Keep us updated on that damn. But there was a tarry because that was asking.
So
stay
crazy.
Is a New Living Translation.
Stay.
NIV is going to say, stay. So we're going with the word stay. Looks like
that's the one.
Well, the ESV is going to be, how much word it's going to be?
Probably stay also.
ESV says remain. They got it right. Remain, I suppose. Never mind.
Remain.
Tarry. I guess maybe meno. I'm not sure if the word is meno.
Remain or stay.
But okay. I'm not sure if tarry. The actual word is. I have to look, figure that out.
Yeah.
Anna's not here to tell us.
Probably meno. All right. And watch for the watchman on the wall in Ezekiel's day.
No, the New American, pardon me for...
Okay, go ahead.
Someone asked the question on the other side of the aisle.
Yes.
It says, remain.
Remain.
So I don't have to go through all of them, but that's...
Okay, remain.
Remain, stay, or tarry.
Stay or
tarry. We'll get the old RSV, see what that says.
Probably tarry.
That says remain as well.
Remain, okay.
So
this idea of watch. Remember, the Ezekiel was a watchman. And he told the watchman on the wall. What was that watchman on the wall to do?
To warn.
Look at the enemy when it came and warned the people.
Yeah.
If you saw the enemy coming and didn't warn, the enemy came, what was true in Ezekiel's day?
I think he would be killed.
He would be killed. Their blood would be upon him. Now, we don't believe that's applicable today because we try to warn the wicked, but we can't warn all the wicked of the world. But in Ezekiel's day, God told a specific watchman. In fact, what's that man's program?
Southwest
Radio Church. Yeah, he's got an article on watchmen on the wall. Yeah, watchmen. But we got to be watchmen, watching the things that are happening all around us. And he wanted to watch here at Gethsemane. And so a lot of people don't want people to watch, but we got to watch with me. So he was watching as well. Then verse 39, as we said, went a little further. What did he do at that time?
He went through and fell on his face and prayed.
Apparently that was the first time that he prayed. He talked to them and went a little further. So Terry watched him. Then he went a little further still and he fell on his face and prayed. What did he pray? Who did he pray to, first of all?
His father.
Is the father of all people in the world?
No. Seed.
That's right. Now see, the Gnostic believes in the universal fatherhood, and so they take away lots of my father. He prayed to the father, implying that he was the father of everybody. He says, the father. See, now it says, my father, special father. How many people have God as their father?
All saved
people born again Christians have God as their father. But he, special father, the Son of God, perfect God, perfect man. Oh, my father. Now, what does this if mean?
What is if?
In verse number 39. What's the if? Have you got something to add?
Since perhaps.
Okay, go ahead.
It says, greetings to all our BFTBC Bible study and our internet families. It sure is good to be in Bible study tonight in a nice warm home as we're going to be very cold in the state of Wisconsin. Temperatures right now is -6.7 degrees.
Wow.
Feels a little bit with the wind chill of -18. I would like to greet Anne Marie. It is good to see her class tonight in person. We're thankful to be safe. Travel mercies for Dan and Tammy and Anna. Good to have him back home. Thank you, Pastor, for another great Bible study in the book of Matthew. In Christ the Kosicks.
That's Wendy and Rick Kosick, way over in Wisconsin. Thank you, Wendy and Rick. Appreciate that very much. So, oh my Father, what's the if mean? If it be possible, what is the implication of that phrase?
Give us a verse again.
At verse number 39.
It might not be possible because
right.
It's the Father's will.
That's right. What does that imply the Lord Jesus is maybe possibly hoping for? Although he knew the end. If you said to somebody, if it would be possible, give me $1 million, what would that indicate the person asking that? What might he want?
$1 million.
In other words, he's trying. The Lord Jesus knew that it was not possible, but still he wanted to ask his Father if it be possible.
He was just expressing his fear.
That's right. Yeah, of course, you and I who ask the question of the Lord, we have to ask if it be possible. We can't dictate to the Lord what he's going to do. But anyway, if it be possible, what was his prayer?
Not my will, but thine be done.
But before that, in verse 39.
Let this cup.
Now there's different interpretation of what the cup is. What do you think? Give me your interpretation, and then I'll give maybe another one that some have prayed.
His sacrifice.
Could be the sacrifice. Anything else?
The weight of sin.
Weight of sin.
The weight of sin.
I
tell you, some people think it's because the Father wouldn't be looking at him anymore.
Dr. DeHaan had this thought. It's a thought that I think we should consider. May not be right, but he thought that he prayed that this cup would pass from him, that he would not die in Gethsemane, but at the cross to fulfill prophecy. That was part of the prayer. So that's what he, that's something to think about. Let this cup pass from me. What is his conclusion of this, if it be possible, in verse 3?
Nevertheless.
What does nevertheless mean?
Just
this. Yeah, what does it mean? Nevertheless.
In spite of that.
In spite of something.
I don't know what it means.
All right. I would like you to give me a ride to Collingswood. Nevertheless, if you don't do that, in other words, it's not, if you don't accept it, then something else will happen. So it's an alternative. It's an alternative word. What was the alternative the Lord Jesus said to the Father, to his Father?
Not as I will, but as thou wilt.
What does it mean? As I will.
His desire.
I desire, but as thou wilt.
He's yielding his whole self to his Father.
That's correct. Now, were the persons of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, unequal in power and all the attributes? Were they unequal or equal? Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Equal.
They're equal, all attributes. But there was a hegemony or an order of things, weren't
they? A what?
Hegemony. It's an order of things. The Father sent the Son. Holy Spirit then gave us the scriptures. So different duties. They all had different duties. And so he asked the Father, as thou, if he was submitting to his Father. Remember, yet he learned obedience for the things what?
Which
he suffered. So he learned obedience as perfect God and perfect man. He learned. And so he was in submission to his Father while he was here upon this earth. He didn't want anything that the Father did not accept. As thou wilt. All right, let's read verse number 40. Okay, let me stop right here. This is the way it says. She's tired out. She must have quit at 9 o'clock. So this is 9:06, a little bit later. But we'll stop. But do you have any other comments or questions? It's a very interesting portion of the scripture. Any other thoughts or questions you may have before we close? Oh, here's a question or comment. Yes, Nick. Take care.
Now, I think in this case, as God was sending you a message, an example for us, when we are in such sometimes terrible, dire circumstances, and we're praying that the Lord wouldn't remove them. And yet, it is up to us to say, not my will, but thine be done. And that is so hard to do. And I simply be careful of this. Okay?
Yes. Very good. Thank you, Dick. Appreciate that. Let's wave again. Second time. Take care. Up here in New Jersey. All right. Any other comments or questions before we close tonight? All right. If not, let's close in the word of prayer. Father, we do thank thee for our Savior. Perfect God, yes, but perfect man. And we're sorry for these 11 disciples. Certainly Judas was to be shunned. But even these 11, and especially with Peter, the spokesman, that said he wasn't ready to deny our Savior. Help us, Lord, to be careful what we say. Help us to honor our words. Give us the gracious strength to fulfill our words. And please, Lord, help us not ever to deny our Savior. For anything, anyone that's speaking against him, may we stand up and be strong, even if it means our death, as was true in the early church, as they were crucified and as they were whipped and scorned and put in prison and sawn asunder. So guide us and direct us and keep us faithful servants unto thee. And we thank thee for our Savior that wanted thy will to be done. Help us to want thy will also in our lives. Help us as we go forward in our Lord's Day service. Guide us and direct us. And thank thee for those that entered into our service, those that were listening by other means and internet. And take care of them, Lord. Use them to thy glory and use us here. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, thank you for coming.